Hello, I'm your Alaska Live host, Lori Neufeld, here in the KUAC studios. It's classical guitarist Colin McAllister and UAF percussion professor Morris Palter. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Ms. Neufeld.
And you have an exciting festival again happening this winter, and it culminates this weekend with some performances.
It's always a great privilege to be the director of this festival, the Northern Exposure Festival of Modern Music. The first concert is happening tonight, and it's featuring faculty performers and composers as well as student performers and composers. That'll happen in the Davis Concert Hall at 7 o'clock, and it's sort of an eclectic mix of all sorts of instruments, solos, chamber pieces, you know, trios, quartets, a lot of Alaska premieres, a lot of world premieres, some interesting pieces by student composers, which will be, premiered. Faculty member James Beachigo, he's the head of our low brass department. He has a piece being premiered on tonight's festival as well. So, you know, tonight promises to be a real interesting mixed bag of new works, as it were.
7 o'clock at Davis Concert Hall.
7 o'clock, Davis Concert Hall tonight. And then tomorrow I'm really happy to be able to present Colin McAllister, who's a really fabulous classical and contemporary and jazz guitarist. Colin and I have known each other for many, many years. We both did our doctorate degrees at University of California, San Diego, and we both play in an ensemble down in San Diego, the Noise Ensemble. And we do a yearly festival down in San Diego, and I've always wanted him to come back up here. He was here in the summer of 2008 working at the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival. Some of the people out there in Fairbanks may remember that. But he's back, and he's going to do a solo recital for us tomorrow night, same time, 7 o'clock in Davis Concert Hall. And he's here with us in the studio.
And he brought his guitar with him, so that's great news. And what are you going to play first for us, Colin?
Well, why don't I start off by playing the first movement of a really nice piece for guitar, Leo Brouwer's El Decameron Negro. So it's a piece that's in three movements. The first movement is called El Arpa del Guerrero, which means the warrior's harp. So maybe we'll give that a go to start off. Thank you.
Colin McAllister, guest artist for the 2015 Northern Exposure Festival of Modern Music, joins us here at the KUAC studios for Alaska Live. That was really gorgeous. I love that Leo Brower piece.
It is really nice. And the two movements that come after it are even better, I think. So I'll leave the audience in suspense for those, maybe.
Right, because is
get
that
them to come out tomorrow night?
That's a piece that you are playing tomorrow night on the Davis Concert Hall stage,
right?
Because you're featured tomorrow night in concert, and tonight is the students and faculty of the UAF Music Department, and what an exciting time! I mean, it's a perfect time for people to come inside and enjoy some music that just takes your mind off of the fact that it's, I don't know, 20, 30 below, 40 below.
Well, it says it's that cold out. It doesn't feel like it's that cold out right now.
No, it doesn't. No.
But we always try to do this. Well, we have always done this festival around this time every year. Usually the first week of February is sort of a good time to put this on. It gives us some time. We've been back from the holidays for, you know, almost a month, 3 weeks, and sort of dust some of the rust and dust off of our instruments that we may have put down over the holiday break, and gives us a chance to get some new repertoire and for me to think about programming and get some students and faculty interested in being part of it. And so it's always a really fun, it's a fun festival for me to put on and to showcase, you know, what I consider to be a really important part of what I do and what we do as performing artists. So that's to think about what is happening today in our art form rather than, you know, it seems to be more times than not in music, we look more backwards than we look forwards, which isn't to say that, you know, the pieces from the masters aren't wonderful pieces, and going back to whoever you want to pick, you know, they seem to be really popular, whether you're talking about symphonic composers or chamber composers or soloists. But I'm always interested in what's happening today and what's happening, you know, potentially happening tomorrow. So that's why I'm always been really interested in what you would call contemporary music. And yeah, sometimes people have this a preconceived notion of what that may entail, and they hear sort of discordant things and ugly sounds. And
that piece that you just played, Colin, was lyrical and it was gorgeous, and there was nothing odd about it.
Nothing gnarly.
Well, I will be doing a little bit of that too.
Okay.
My concert is a whole variety of things. I'm doing a 12th century piece by Hildegard von Bingen, my own arrangement of that, all the way to more contemporary things. And I apologize if this concert was supposed to take people's mind off winter, because I've actually titled the concert Winter Stasis.
That's right.
Because when I was living in Southern California for a long time, and just a couple of years ago moved to Colorado, where I'm originally from. And so I got to start enjoying the winter again, and I started doing a concert called Winter Stasis. And well, I thought folks up here would really know what winter was about. So I apologize if I should have brought a summer-themed program. But
that last movement from the Leo Brower, is that a suite or what is
it? It is.
Yeah.
It's three movements.
That sounds very warm, it seems as though.
I think people can think whatever they want.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to tell anybody to think. I just for me, I decided to organize the pieces of my concert in three little cycles. The first cycle is called Invocation. And I actually begin with this Hildegard von Bingen piece, if you'd like to hear a little bit of it.
That would be wonderful.
So she was a preacher. She engaged in theological disputes. She traveled around Germany on preaching tours. And this was in the 12th century, mind you,
when women were not invited into the church to be leaders.
Exactly. And so this is an original hymn of hers. It's a monophonic piece, meaning that it's just a single melody. There's no harmony. And so I decided, well, this could be a nice first piece to play on a concert. So this will actually be the first performance of this for me. And I'm using a variety of harmonics and things on the guitar to get some sounds out of this. So let me play just a little bit of it for you. And this is what I'll open the concert with tomorrow night. Thank you. So even though we're lacking the Latin text of this, I think it's just, I thought this was perfect for an invocation.
It does. It sounds like the beginning of, a program or a service or, it's gorgeous. And you said you put some harmonics into that. So.
Right. So I just have, it's just a melody from the score. I mean, you can see this is what the original.
It's very simple. What Colin,
can't see this right now.
What Colin is holding up is very simple.
So I just have the melody. And there's no rhythm. It's, they didn't have accurate ways for notating rhythm in the 12th century yet. That was very primitive. So I just have notes, and so I'm trying to figure out different ways to play them on different strings to get different timbres. And it's a work in progress, but I think it's kind of fun to play, and I hope people will enjoy it.
And so the fact that you reinterpreted it makes it fit into the invocation for a modern music program.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm playing...
That's the angle.
That's the angle.
I get it.
Yeah,
I'm
playing
it,
some other older works as well, but they all have a reason for being on this particular program.
Yeah. I love it that you chose a composition from a female composer from the 12th century. That's not every day you hear something composed like that.
Right.
Colin McAllister is my guest on KUAC's Alaska Live. And Morris Palter is also here. You are the director of the 2015 Northern Exposure Festival of Modern Music. And I could call it Northern Exposure because you're exposing us to some really cool things that we wouldn't always get exposed to.
Yeah, I renamed the festival probably 2 or 3 years ago to the Northern Exposure Festival. And some of your listeners, I don't know if there's a TV show that used to play called Northern Exposure way back in the day. And I figured maybe enough time had gone by that I could usurp that title. It always was in the back of my mind to use it for a festival up in Alaska. And I thought, well, perhaps it's enough time has passed
where I won't
get accused of just blatantly trying to steal it from under the show's... So, I just thought it was a real fitting, it just worked in so many ways, thinking about exposing people, obviously, to new music and being up here in the north and all the rest of it. So, and again, it's always that challenge to try and, the first and foremost, I always want to entertain people, whether it's a concert that I'm doing or a concert that I'm producing or directing or a festival or whatever it is. I mean, I think that's the number one thing you don't want. I always want people to walk away feeling, wow, that was a really great experience, and I really enjoyed that, which doesn't mean they weren't challenged by it. It doesn't mean that they didn't have to, they weren't spoon-fed something. It means that they were actually engaging in it, in a way that is both entertaining and educational, and that's sort of always what I try to balance with the concerts that I do as sort of a person who loves to live in the new music, modern music, genre and artistic world. So it's really trying to balance a bunch of different things when I put on a festival like this. And you're also, whoever applies to play on the festival, you're also, dealing with that. It's not like you can pull something out of your hat that doesn't exist or someone that doesn't want to. So,
and you have students that have done compositions for this.
Yeah, there's one in particular named Trevor Adams who I think has a couple of world premieres on this festival, and he'll be playing on some of them, and other ones that I think he has a solo piano piece that's being premiered that Lorna Etter, one of our faculty pianists, she's doing some heavy lifting on this festival. I think she's playing on like every second piece, if not every... 2 out of 3 pieces.
She's been on many Alaska Live because she is the accompanist and she is the performer when somebody like Trevor would compose something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So so you'll see a lot of that type of thing. And then, I always try to, everyone is welcome, to propose something for the festival. And occasionally I'll get something where someone really wants to perform on the festival, but it's really not a modern music piece. Like they come in with something from like a Mozart concerto and they're just looking for an outlet to perform it on. I'm like, God love you. I think you're a fabulous student, but I just don't think I can justify programming that just yet on the new music festival.
And there are so many outlets for that already.
Right.
That you're trying to provide.
Right. And at the same time, it's great that students are ambitious and you know, are wanting to perform and be out on stage. I think that's what you should be when you're at that level of well, you should always be that as an artist, but certainly when you're, you know, doing your degree to just want to get out there and be hungry for it. But I have to have my limitations for a modern music festival.
Well, and the fact that you are the percussion professor, but it's not that you chose a whole program of percussion music.
No, not at all. In fact, I've tried to stay far away from the nepotistic percussion-related events. So I've never actually ever had a guest artist percussionist here for the New Music Festival. I've always chosen a different instrument. I've had pianists. I've had a double bassist. I've had a violinist last year. Veronique Mathieu is here, a guitarist, a guy that played the bamboo flute on the con. Honestly, I've had all kinds of things up here, and I've not ever had a percussionist as the because I feel there's other outlets for that. As the head of the percussion program, I can bring them in for Alaska Day of Percussion, or there's other times for that. That being said, yes, percussionists do play on the festival because there are students who are in the percussion program who play modern music pieces who want to play in the festival. But it's certainly not geared for percussionists any more than it's geared for anyone else.
Colin, what makes the guitar geared for modern music? I mean, you hear guitar in just about any type of music, whether it's rock and roll, roots, world music, classical, and modern music. What makes it geared towards
I think it's really well suited for playing modern music because people aren't afraid of the guitar.
Yeah.
When Morris comes out on some stage sometimes with a giant percussion setup, people might be expecting something. But you know, I'm so friendly. Friendly. I come out with the classical guitar, and even things that are quite extreme for guitar, it's still the guitar, and I think that it has this kind of essence to it. It has this aura to the guitar. For instance, okay, I'll give you an example. So tomorrow night I'm going to play this piece called L'Addio a Trachis by Salvatore Chirino, who's an Italian composer. He's a living composer. He writes very quiet music, and he likes to do these sorts of gestures that are very ephemeral and very light. And so I thought, okay, this fits the theme of winter stasis. So this piece, and I can play it for you now, it uses the predominant technique in this piece is something called tremolo, which this is a technique that we guitarists use for things. So, for example, you create this illusion that you have a constantly sustaining melody, even though it isn't there. So if I do something like this, and then I speed that up, called Recuerdos de la Alhambra that all classical guitar players know. So that's this technique called tremolo. But Chirino uses it on these muted and half-muted pitches, so you get these kind of sounds.
And how are you muting that?
So I'm not pushing the string down all the way.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of...
So on the fretboard, you're not completely pushing the string down.
Right,
to...
so you get this kind of shadowy pitch. So let me play this one for you now, if that's all right.
Yeah, that'd be great.
This is Salvatore Chirino's L'Addio a Trachis, number 2.
It's very mysterious how you did all those sounds, but you did explain how you created that really wonderfully intriguing and unique sound from the classical guitar. Colin McAllister is my guest here at KUAC's Alaska Live. I kind of describe it as the difference between what it sounds like to walk through the snow at 40 below and at zero. You know, because it's a completely different tone and way we hear it. That was neat. And I think that's one of the reasons why coming out to the concert tomorrow at 7 at David's Concert Hall, you can see how that's done. And Morris, you could see me straining to see over all the equipment in here to watch what the mystery, you know, kind of unpacked on that one.
Right. Well, nothing Colin does surprises me anymore, so it's hard to throw me for a loop with this guy. So this is another day at work for me when I watch this going on. It was this racket behind me again, something different. But yeah, I think that's one of the great things about a lot of instruments is that we have there's sort of the traditional way that we play these things that, you know, that we consider the guitar to be played on, and then there's what we call extended techniques. And this is sort of be what you would consider to be an extended technique, which means a technique that's not, well, it means it's extended. It means it doesn't fall within sort of the normal breadth of what you'd expect. And those types of things exist on all instruments. And it's sort of this 20th century notion of really trying, and 21st century of really trying to explore these types of things. And composers really got interested in that because they sort of, in some ways, exhausted the possibilities of how, of the type of normal sounds. And so you had, starting with people like John Cage, you started to stick erasers and bolts and nuts inside the strings of pianos to get it to sound differently. And it's like every instrument has found ways to do that. And I think this is a good example of what that is on the classical guitar.
And Colin, that classical guitar, it's nylon strings. And that gives you a little bit different tone than, of course, like a steel string guitar or...
It does. I think that, well, first of all, for nylon strings, classical guitarists, we play with our fingernails. And on a steel string guitar, that doesn't work out quite as well. But I think you can get a wider timbre of sounds, too, with the classical guitar. You can play very much back here. But if I play up here... It's really nice because you can get there's more possibilities for playing with different tone colors, I think, on a classical guitar than on a steel string.
And that was the sound you changed from playing like below the sound hole to above it.
Right, exactly. So this, if to get a more sharp sound, I'm playing closer to the saddle here. This is called sul ponticello.
Crisp.
Right, and if I play up here.
Towards the top of the
exactly, head. About halfway between where the string hits the nut and where it hits the saddle. You get, it's called sul tasto, playing over the fingerboard. And so we use those, we move the hand in different locations to get different timbres out of the instrument.
And you've spent a lot of your career teaching, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and I can tell because you're an educator at heart. You're a great performer, but you also appear to take a great joy in talking about these things too, these techniques. How have you been turning your students on to modern music?
Well, they just get it through, I think, seeing me perform more than anything, because I always put modern music on my solo programs. It's always some modern music and some older music. I also, when I have undergraduate students at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, and they all go through, about 10 years ago, I wrote a method book. It has etudes and exercises in it that are designed to get guitar players to start exploring things about modern music, even though their level doesn't have to be that high, because a lot of times I think performers on all instruments get a little shy about modern music because there are some things about it that are very challenging and that are different from playing more traditional repertoire. And so this book, it's called The Vanguard Guitar, and students find a way to do exercises in rhythm, exercises in changing timbres, exercises in changing dynamics and so forth, but the technical demands are not very high. So it's perfect for undergraduate students, and all of my undergraduates have to go through that at some point or another.
Kind of make some book sales somehow.
If you're going to take my class, you will be...
That's right. That's notorious for professors to do that.
It's in the library, so they don't have to buy it. But the listeners can buy it by visiting my website if they're interested.
Well, when I went to your website, I noticed that you not only have, you know, some of your repertoire on there, videos and your discography, but you also are studying something that is not necessarily musically related, which I was very surprised to see. You're a history buff, but it's very specific. And I realized that you would use that maybe in when you're talking about this 12th century classical woman composer that was a teacher in the church already. Mm-hmm. And what is your studies? Just I know you're not going to be able to explain it.
It is totally removed from this, but
yes,
it's my interest is in early medieval Latin apocalyptic. And so right now I'm translating a 9th century gloss on the Book of Revelation from Latin into English and writing a commentary on it.
You're doing this for fun or for credit?
Well, yeah, I told my wife that I had a music degree, but that I thought if I go back to school, I should get something that's really practical. And so that this degree in history would be very practical and have real world application. No, I just sort of got into this thing and I was talking about it with a friend of mine who happens to be a history professor where I teach at UCCS. And we just got together for coffee, and he said, well, what you're interested in is a great project. Why don't you just do a master's degree in history and just do it part-time? And then you can get some credit for what you're doing. And so I decided to. So I'm on the very slow boat of that. But it does apply to the music as well.
It seems it does.
Tomorrow night, if you want me to tell you a little bit. So
it's going to be lots of fire on stage.
Exactly.
Yeah, you did mention Revelations.
No fire. But there was, for instance, during the time of the Great Western Schism, which is when the church split up in the West, there was a papacy in Rome and there was a papacy in Avignon, and this was during the 14th century. And in the late 14th century, there was also some very interesting music that was coming out of Avignon. It's not sacred music, it's secular music, but it's particularly remarkable for its rhythmic interest that it has in it. And so I arranged one of these pieces for the concert tomorrow night as well. This is a short piece from the late 14th century. It was originally for two unspecified instruments, and so I've arranged it for solo guitar. It's called, pardon my French, Puisque je suis fumeau by Johannes Hasbrois. Thank you. So even though this is a very old piece, it sounds very new.
It does.
I'm doing it in a different arrangement, and these would have been sort of the avant-garde composers of the late 14th century. So to me, it feels and it sounds very much like contemporary music, even though it's very old.
That's so true. You know, even in Mozart's day, he was the modern composer.
Right. People went to see his music then.
Yes.
Let's go see some living composers now.
Have you composed music for the program also?
No, I've arranged a couple things, but I haven't composed anything myself.
I gotcha. And the arrangements, that, like you said, that last one was composed for musical instruments, not specified.
Right, and some there one of the parts could have been sung too.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
But they didn't. It was any monophonic instrument could play it. So any kind of the early woodwind instruments or a bowed, a viol, some kind of bowed string instrument or a lute could have provided one of the parts.
Yeah, I can see the draw to the guitar because there's so many different ways of playing it, sounds you can make, you can move from one century to another. Whereas Morris Palter has to learn all these different instruments, you know.
Yeah, but I would say that when you're young, 7 and 8 years old, I don't think too many people who are 8 go, I want to play the French horn and get like jazzed about it. They're like, they want to play guitar, they want to play drums. Those seem to be the two main, maybe piano. The side of those three, and Colin and I just stuck with it.
We didn't change.
We never got lured in by the subtle tones of an oboe.
even though with the group you had together, Noise, you had a clarinet in that group?
There is, yeah. It's guitar, Colin, myself, percussion. We have a flautist. There's a cellist. There is a clarinetist. There's a violinist, and there's a pianist, who is also our resident composer, Christopher Adler, who I had up here in the 2008 New Music Festival. Right. He was up here.
How often does Noise get together, the Noise Ensemble that you guys are a part of?
Well, I'll let Colin take over.
Well, we get together for certain at least once a year because we all used to live in San Diego, and when we were there, we did quarterly concerts, more or less. And then we all slowly started to leave San Diego, and then we established the Sound On Festival of Modern Music in 2007 that happens every January. So we get together every January for a week, and we present 3 nights of concerts. So we just, actually, Morris and I just saw each other last month for that.
In California.
In La Jolla, California.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just San Diego, essentially.
And so there it's like, 140 degrees warmer. Or more.
Well, it was warmer. There's no denying it, but not quite that bad. Or good, depending how you look at it.
Colin, on your Facebook page, I saw that you were enjoying the outdoors. You were taking pictures of the sunrise, which is at a very reasonable time in the 9 o'clock hour.
Right. I woke up because I'm 2 hours later in Colorado, so I woke up at 5 o'clock, raring to go. Morris was still asleep. I had to bide my time.
I was like, and then it gets easy, tiger.
But tomorrow, Morris has promised me, as you know, Morris is an avid snow mountain biker, fat biker, and he's going to take me out tomorrow morning before sunrise, he said, get a good workout in before the concert.
Yeah, if anyone wants to join us, we'll be plowing through Goldstream Valley at some time before sunrise. Look for the headlamps.
Colin, you still have a smile on your face now.
I do. Well, I mean, Colorado gets chilly from time to time, and my wife and I both love trail running and being outside, so... If you have the right gear,
isn't that true?
Have the wrong gear on, then you have a bad time.
Yeah, and it's okay as long as you don't take too much cold air into your lungs. Just cover up your face and
don't tell him that. I was just gonna make him go out there with no hat and face mask. And
Morris
call,
is already telling
call him
about
a wuss when he starts complaining.
The
about
White
the...
Mountain 100-mile race next year. Maybe I could start getting ready for that.
Yeah, start training for the 100-mile race up here.
There you go.
Along trails.
Sounds great. I love it.
Well, you came up here, we mentioned earlier in the show that you were up here in 2008 for the Summer Arts Festival.
That's right.
And so you're really getting the best of both worlds Alaska has to offer.
Right. And I'm glad. I told Morris after I'd been up here in the summer, I said, I want to come back in the winter. So
it's
here,
like,
it's
well, you
happening.
You're in the back of the line now, Colin. Yeah.
I had to wait 7 years.
We have some great northern lights. The aurora has been gorgeous lately. Did you get to see it at all last night?
I checked a couple times last night, and yeah, I didn't see it, but it might have been that I fell to sleep too early or got up too late.
Tonight's forecast is for moderate aurora, which is great. It's an index of 3, so check again tonight.
So what time do you recommend? What's the best time?
You know, sometimes it's around midnight. Sometimes it's later. Sometimes it's earlier. You just never know. After dark is what I recommend.
I understand. Well, I think part of the last night, not to keep going on about this, but the moon was so bright and full that I'd go outside. I felt like I couldn't see any dark sky anyway, so they were probably out there. I just come up in the hills in Goldstream Valley, and it was just like bright light shining in my window trying to sleep. It was the moon.
It is a full moon very recently, and yes, it's been really bright, and Jupiter has been right there in the sky with it. Ah, oh, gorgeous. Well, Colin, we're so glad you came back in the wintertime too, because Summer Arts Festival is a wonderful time to enjoy so many guest artists and local musicians, but there's a lot going on then, and right now there's still a lot going on, but maybe a little less than in the summertime, and you'll be on stage at the UAF Davis Concert Hall tomorrow night with your show. What's it called again? Winter.
It has a Latin title that's the same as the English translation. It's called Statio Hiberna, or Winter Stasis.
Way to use that Latin that you've been using.
I'm telling you, yeah.
Colin told me that funny. He started learning Latin because he was sitting in traffic so much in San Diego. He got those language tapes and he started learning.
I memorized a couple long Latin speeches by Seneca, recited them one time at a recital.
So
that was the start of that. So tell folks, please come out.
Yeah.
And if they want, they can go to my website in advance and listen to some things. There's a lot of great videos on there as well. It's just www.colinmcallister.com.
Cool. And Colin, of course, is spelled with a C. You don't spell it any weird way.
No.
There's a silent Z at the
beginning. Yeah, it's ZC. No. Yeah, just Colin with one L, C-O-L-I-N.
And tonight's program is featuring some world premieres and some Alaska premieres with UAF faculty and students.
Yeah, both faculty and student composers and performers. And so it'd be a mixed bag of undergraduates and graduates and faculty. And I'm always excited to put these concerts on, you know, because it really sort of celebrates what we do in the Department of Music and how hard these students work to really put these things together. I mean, you come out and see someone play a 7-minute piece of music, and you know that could have taken them 2 or 3 months to learn and have that opportunity to play it for that 7 minutes. So there's usually a big sort of investment, which is why the kid who learns Mozart wants to come out and play
Of course.
But I think it's really great to give these students an opportunity to showcase, you know, especially these types of works on as much as possible.
And it's the Northern Exposure Festival of Modern Music, and it shouldn't be anything that we should be scared of when you put that modern music term on there, because we've heard just a great variety from Colin McAllister, your guest artist here, of very lyrical stuff that's unique, that's so interesting to watch and hear.
Yeah, I think it'll be soon that you won't even have to sort of have that pre-part of the, you know, like to add that onto the title. It could just be the Northern Exposure Festival of Music. I mean, I still think there's that.
Well, good luck turning away those kids with Mozart that
right,
way.
Right, I know. That's the issue, I suppose. But I think at a certain point, it's like, listen, let's just get over ourselves. It's just a music festival that you know, features living people and dead people. So it's no different.
Right. One of those things with the like world music, what is world music these days? I mean, you know, you kind of have to put some sort of stamp on things sometimes, and I think that's a bit of a catch-all sometimes.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
And how is the Ensemble 64.8?
Yeah, we're chugging along really well. We rehearse every Tuesdays and Thursdays. Our studio concert for the semester is going to be on April 24th. But yesterday, there's 3 graduate percussionists right now, and they pretty much overtook the entire music at one concert yesterday. It was a full percussion. It was like a percussion at one concert. So yeah, everyone's playing really great, and a little shout out to Sean Dowgray, one of the current master's students who just was accepted into my alma mater, UC San Diego, to study with the world-renowned Stephen Schick. So I'm really happy that he's going down there. So
and you Colin, get to hang you out were with there Colin. Too.
I was, and that's how Morris and I met each other.
Yeah, so it's a pretty famous program, I would say. And
great
so,
program for, yeah. for contemporary music.
Yeah. So I'm excited he's going there, but everyone plays great. I'm obviously proud of all the students. They always land somewhere that's really fabulous. And yeah, so it'll be a
and
great
you,
concert.
You mentioned the Music at One. I think it's been renamed
Music 110. I think they kept the title Music at One, even though it starts at 110. The Wind Symphony rehearses right until 1 o'clock. So it's like there's a bit of a frantic set change.
And it goes on every Thursday at the UAF Davis Concert Hall, and the public, everybody's invited
totally
to hear
100%. No.
Students performing the pieces they worked very hard on.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of the times, frankly, I'll play on Music at Once. Not that that should be a reason why you should come because of that, but you know, I think even as where I'm at in my career, I just want to play as much as possible. So sometimes what'll happen is Dorley McWayne, who's our faculty flautist, who puts together the Music at One program, she'll call me up and be like, okay, we've got like 15 minutes to fill on next week's program. You got anything? I'm like, oh, absolutely. I think last year I set a record. I played on 12 of them throughout the year. So I'm always like the go-to guy, like just to throw me on stage and kill some time.
Keep it interesting.
Yeah. So my grad students are picking up a lot of that slack now this year. But yeah, it's always fun just to get up there and play no matter what, you know, happy to play for free.
Colin, do you have something to play us out? Because I know that you have places to go and places to be and students to teach.
Maybe some Zeppelin?
play just a little bit. I don't want to give the whole thing away. But this is a piece by Paulo Bellinati, a wonderful Brazilian guitarist and composer. It's called Django. And I'll play a little bit of it for you. Let me start that again. I'll just stop it right there. But
I don't want you to, but I understand why you have to.
I want people to come out and hear the whole thing tomorrow night.
Gosh, that was really gorgeous. Well, many thanks to UAF's Morris Palter.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And Colin McAllister for being my guest today on Alaska Live. You guys were great.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure.
And thanks to KUAC intern Brady Gross. I'm your host for Alaska Live. I'm Lori Neufeld. Thanks for listening.